Good morning and welcome to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy, joined today by pop-up co-host Daisy Carter. More on Daisy in a minute. Our topic today is young people and the distress and disruption COVID has caused in their short lives, be it social, educational, or their work life. Even after vaccines began to emerge, their opportunity to get a vaccine didn't come until mid-2021. Still, data show that teens and young adults have low vaccination and booster rates compared to older adults. As our show progresses today, we'll listen to teens from three different organizations, Alaska Teen Media Institute, Covenant House, and MHATS, a youth-led and youth-founded organization of Anchorage high school students working on mental health issues through storytelling. Before we get started, a note to listeners that our program is pre-recorded today, so we won't be taking your calls. However, we still want to hear from you. Please call our recorded line at 550-8480. This line is dedicated for your questions and to share your own experiences as you navigate COVID. Also, please check out the info and useful links on our website, alaskapublic.org/talktoyourneighbor. So let's get started. In the intro, I mentioned that I'm joined today by what I call a pop-up co-host, someone who knows the territory we'll be covering in our program, how teens navigate COVID, very intimately. As such, she can help guide our conversation so we really get to the heart of the matter. So I want you to welcome our co-host, Daisy Carter. She's a UAA journalism student and also does a lot of good work at the Alaska Teen Media Institute. In fact, her work at the Institute earned her a distinct honor, Student Journalist of the Year from Youth Journalism International, a New England-based nonprofit that provides education and powerful platforms for young people to tell their own stories. So, Daisy, I am honored to share the mic with you. You're just a freshman in college and you've already got a journalism career going.
Yeah.
So that's great. And our first segment is going to be about the Alaska Teen Media Institute. And first of all, why don't you tell us what that is for folks who don't know? And then we'll start talking about how they got engaged with COVID topics.
Yeah. So hi, I'm Daisy.
Hi, Daisy.
Alaska Teen Media Institute, also known as APNI, is a youth-based organization that helps youth share their stories. I started there about 4 years ago, you know, as a youth, just wanting to, you know, share stories and better my community. And I'm thankful that I've been able to exceed in that. And I've been able to share, you know, my community stories and also my personal stories there and learn. I think the best thing about Alaska Teen Media Institute is that I learned
so much.
I learned so much, but I learned through hands-on experience of, you know, working with my amazing mentors, John, Rosie, and Cody, who are all in different levels of journalism, whether it be written journalism, radio journalism, or, you know, like video journalism. So, you know, at APNI, you really get hands-on experience to, you know, the world of journalism in all different types of medias.
So way before COVID, because you were there 4 years, and 4 years ago, COVID had not descended upon us. What kinds of things were you doing then at APNI?
Yeah, so we were doing... I'm trying to remember what we used to do.
Well, do you do projects? Do you get projects to do for other businesses or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So what we do is that we would get a grant or we would have somebody come and be like, hey, we want, you know, youth voice in this. Or sometimes grants that are specifically youth led would come to us and be like, hey, we will, you know, we're offering this grant, like sign up for this grant and, you know, we can give you a project to do or you can do this project for us.
And where does your material air? How can people find it?
You can find it but we've been doing podcasts a lot recently. And you can find it at alaskateenmediainstitute.org. Mm-hmm. Or you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I believe, yeah, we're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Comcast, I think.
Right. And so, but originally you were doing these other projects, but when COVID happened, people couldn't gather in the same place. Life changed. By the way, is APNI kind of an after school kind of thing, or is it a sort of business week timetable? What is APNI? You know, when do people get together there?
You know, it's funny you say that. We're kind of in this blended mode right now. We're opened Tuesdays and Thursdays from 1 to 5. So it's kind of like afternoon, after school type of program. But a majority of our work has been online, and we've been able to kind of adapt to, you know, online interviews and online meetings a lot.
Mm-hmm. And are you teaching there? I mean, if someone's interested, thinking, oh my gosh, I want to do radio or I want to do video, how do they get engaged with APNE?
That's actually kind of the beauty of APNE, is that we have these amazing mentors that are willing to show you and, you know, take the time to, you know, show you how to write a radio script, show you how to edit, you know, audio and video. So you can come in with no experience and we will teach you. As a peer mentor, I'm also able to, like, teach you and train you, you know, to learn these skills. So you really can learn so much from APNE.
So really, you just have to walk in the door.
Yeah. Literally, you can also, if you want to do it a little bit more formal, you can go to our website and there's a link that you can do to sign up, and you can, and that will give us a notification like, hey, this youth wants to participate, and then we'll schedule a Zoom meeting with everybody
and pull them in.
Yeah.
Would you say you're working with, you know, a group of 20 or 100? What's the size of the institute?
Oh goodness, 100. That would be amazing. I would say about 20. We've just been constantly getting youth in, ranging from, I think our youngest is maybe 14, all the way to 25. Like, we have that's, I think what's really cool about APNE is that we have a wide variety of different youth. So we have youth, you know, youth are in high school, youth who are in college or a specific type of trade as well. Like maybe they're in marketing or they're, you know, an audio editor, mm-hmm. Who can come in and, you know, share their ideas.
Hmm. That's great. So now I want to sort of turn a little bit to more toward, you know, COVID and the impact of COVID on your organization. Since you couldn't gather so much, is that where you... I mean, let's talk about Podcast in Place. That's what I'm trying to get to.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So Podcast in Place, it's kind of our, it sounds weird to say, but it's kind of like the reaction that we had to the shutdown. And Podcast in Place was really, you know, started because we didn't know how long we were going to be in this pandemic. So we wanted to make a podcast, you know, about the pandemic. So Podcast in Place, and in place because I think most of, if not all of our stories for the first year were in our homes. We would record it like on our phones. We would, you know, we would adapt to these things, and we have really leaned on podcasting a lot more, I think, you know, due to, you know, it's easy to record on your phone, or it's easy to go into the studio and get like a USB mic and then hook it up to your computer and you can record scripts and in radio stories like that. So I think that's like one of the good things that I think came out of the pandemic.
A silver lining. So in other words, people had enough skill to do the podcasting in their own home. Did you have to get special gear? And, you know, do you borrow that from the institute, or do people end up using their iPhones? You know, how complicated is it?
It's kind of a mixed bag. I personally like to use my phone. Like, we found out early in the pandemic that the iPhones have a very nice audio recording sound to it. So we use that. Some youth like to use the, you know, Tascam, like, you know, to feel more official.
Right.
But you can definitely just record it on your phone.
It can go very easy.
Yeah.
Let's see. I listened to a bunch of those. I think you're in the hundreds now, right? Because we're several years.
Uh-huh.
So I listened to one that was really, it was you actually, and you were talking about, it's early COVID days and the scariness of the news, and you use the term fear-mongering. We're not going to hear that one, but I you know, talk about a little bit why you did that one. It was a personal story about your family and about how news scares your family.
Gosh, that was such a long time ago. It was such a long time ago, but it really wasn't. I just remember, you know, I personally have asthma, so I think my mom just went into like mama bear mode and was like, none of us are getting COVID. And it was around that time when people didn't know the effects, didn't know that, you know, it can show up differently in everybody, didn't know how it would appear, you know, with me or with, you know, my sister, with my mom. So I think that just really played for the first month or two. My family was just kind of, you know, scared, like a lot of people. So when I went to go record, like, how do I feel right now? Like, I was just scared. I was scared to see my mom so worried. I was scared, you know, like what would happen to me if I got COVID.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Now let's talk a little bit more about some of the other podcasts. I know I remember listening to another podcaster from At Me, a young man who was talking about, I don't know, he was home and he was frustrated by it and he was getting all these chores from his mom. And that was okay. You know, I mean, he was kind of joking about it, but they're really close to home stories sometimes. And other times they're actually very less, you know, introspective and more looking out at the world. I'm thinking of some podcast for Place that were interviews with Ann Zink, Dr. Ann Zink, the state's medical officer. And one we're going to talk about here is a podcast that was a multi-generational family. So there were grandparents, a mom, and her young children, or the grandparents, the grandchildren of the grandparents. And they were all interviewed together on a podcast talking about COVID. And I thought that was just a really bright way to do it, because as we've moved along through COVID, there's been so much confusion, fear, some, you know, misinformation's a big issue in this COVID era. And here you had a family talking about the situation. And, you know, again, it's kind of like hearing people that are soothing and have faced the issue and have information that might make the listener or help the listener relax. And I thought that was really effective in that podcast. And it was, you know, one of these youth podcasters who put that whole thing together, right?
Yeah.
So I would love to see if we can take a listen to that.
Laura, when did you first decide that you would get your kids vaccinated? What was that kind of moment for you?
You know, I trusted the science of the vaccine trials. I actually knew someone in the Pfizer trial in California, an adult. And so when it became available to me, I did it as soon as possible. You know, I trusted the process. I knew that they'd been working on coronavirus vaccines for years. I understood that the mRNA, you know, methods were safe. And so I got it as soon as I possibly could. And I knew that when it was approved for children, that they would have done their due diligence and done safe trials. And so I knew I'd get it for them as soon as possible. I also knew that even if there was some risk associated, that it's likely less than the risk of my kids getting COVID. I've been, you know, I have friends whose kids have had cardiomyopathies and loss of taste and other long COVID symptoms. And I've been reading about long COVID in kids. And I know that it's not the majority of cases, but it's still common enough that I didn't want my kids to get COVID. So I was eager to get them vaccinated as soon as it was approved.
So that's a reasonable mom talking about the worries and the fears and what she found out that could reassure her. You know, she followed the science and made the arrangements as soon as she could.
Yeah, I listened to that podcast this morning and I was like, wow, this is such a good and important podcast to share with everybody. I shared it with my extended family and was like, listen to all these amazing and different people different, you know, generations. And I think that's what's so unique about APNE as well, is that you get these different perspectives and you get these different stories that you wouldn't think about or you wouldn't get unless, you know, a youth was able to think about it.
Yeah, yeah. It was very good. And I don't know, just calming. I also like the style of the interview, which was quiet. Mm-hmm. It was quiet and space for thinking and talking, you know. Also, it included some really young kids. I don't think we have an excerpt of the kids, but we kind of tackled for excerpts a bit more of the struggles that parents go through trying to decide whether or not to vaccinate, and even when they do want to do it, how to make it not a very traumatic experience for their young children. So this podcast, if you're a parent and you're thinking about this, I would recommend you go to it on the At Me website, because the grandfather's a doctor and he talks about distracting a small child while it's getting a vaccine. And they had a lot of different fun ways of doing that. So, and I'm wondering if we can hear one more excerpt from that podcast.
We've also had parents say that they were relieved when they got their shots, but that the relief when their children are getting their shots is 10 times stronger. They have been so anxious about their children becoming sick that they just have an incredible sense of relief when their child gets that first shot.
All right. So that's cool. That's great. We're going to wrap up a little bit on At Me here. I just wanted to say, Daisy, I know that you're partners with Alaska Public Media. At Me is partners with Alaska Public Media in this public effort to help people overcome vaccine hesitation. And I don't know what else At Me might be doing in that regard. Do you know any more about what At Me is doing?
Yeah, well, we're making several PSAs for vaccines with youth.
Teens who have been vaccinated or teens who can't get vaccinated or what?
Just encouraging youth to get vaccinated. We're making a PSA to encourage youth to get vaccinated.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But also just this podcast. I think Podcast in Place is such an important and unique thing that, you know, our youth have kind of come up with.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, dealing with what you've got. And uh-huh. I mean, there's hundreds of them on there, I think, right?
Oh, yeah. And they range from, you know, interviews with, you know, Dr. Zink to business owners. I think one of podcasts that I did was with a toy store. And it was very unexpected the way the toy store owner responded to some of the questions that I had. And it was just a fun interview. So there's a wide variety of things that you can find on those specific podcasts.
Really fun. So go to the Alaska Teen Media website at .org and look for their podcasts, and you can jump into Podcast in Place. So we're going to take a tiny break right now. You're listening to Hometown Alaska. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska from Alaska Public Media. For more information about this episode, visit us online at alaskapublic.org.
The conversations you hear on Hometown Alaska are focused on the needs and voices of Alaskans, and the generosity of Alaskans brings them to you. Join your neighbors and become a member of your public radio station today.
Welcome back to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy, and I have a co-host, Daisy. Daisy, say hi.
Hi.
Daisy and I aren't even in the same room because of COVID. So she's in a studio here, and I'm in another studio, so we don't even get to see each other's face. And our guests, as we're going to bring them on now, they are at home on their phones, partly because we just aren't hosting guests in the studio because of COVID. Listen, if you've just tuned in, this is a special edition of Hometown Alaska. It's part of a community effort with about 20 other organizations in town that are working together to try to help overcome vaccine hesitancy. And so that's, you know, ATMI is one of our partners, Covenant House is a partner. And so we tried to kind of put together a program that would be of interest to teens and would have the voices of teens on it. So that's what we're doing. And our project here at Alaska Public Media is called Talk to Your Neighbor. So you can find the pieces of this project on our website at alaskapublic.org/talktoyourneighbor. So keep that in mind. And also, we pre-recorded today's show, so we are not taking calls, live calls, but we do still want to hear from you. We have a recorded line, 550-8480, where you can call with questions about COVID or suggestions on programming for COVID and vaccine hesitancy, and even tell us your story. If you overcame your hesitancy, maybe telling your story would help somebody else also face their fears or find out what information you got that helped you make a decision. So that's what this effort is about. And we're now in a second part of our show, and we have some teens from Covenant House. I'd like to welcome Kaylin Voss. Hi.
Hey, how you doing? This is Kaylin.
Hey, I'm so glad you're there. And I want to tell folks that your nickname is Peanut, and so I'm going to call you Peanut from here on out, just because that's fun to do. And I'm going to ask you right off the bat to tell us how you got that nickname.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. When I was in New Orleans Covenant House, and I used to dress like the guy, the peanut guy off of Planters.
Planters Peanut? Mm-hmm. Mr. Peanut?
Yes, ma'am.
How did you...
Top hat and everything.
Oh, you had a top hat? So yes, you adopted that as your nickname, or maybe you didn't have a choice.
I just stuck with it.
Well, I have met you in person, and you're not tiny like Mr. Peanut. You're tall. So it's funny. I also want to welcome Grace on the line. Hi, Grace. Are you there?
Hey, how are you?
I am so happy to have you. I know it's bumpy. This is Grace Margeson. Both Grace and Peanut are residents of Covenant House and have agreed to join us today to talk a little bit about how life is under COVID. And, you know, one of the things I've sort of learned from talking with both of them is that it's just one other bump along the road. There are many challenges they're facing, and COVID isn't the biggest one, right? Peanut, you told me you got vaccinated back in Louisiana, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And how about you, Grace? When did you get vaccinated?
I got vaccinated as soon as ROP was available to let me go to Covenant, and that was back in March of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Pfizer.
Uh-huh. And, you know, living in a group situation like you do, are there a lot of constraints on you? I mean, do you have to wear masks in public places in Covenant House? What's it like?
It definitely has its challenges because I am navigating a job full-time as well as keeping up with laundry for my job, as well as keeping up with my personal safety within the group that I live in. I do not have stable security with the place that I was living at, but as of last night, I moved into my own place. That has came from a lot of hard work, working through the pandemic the entire time, not taking off a holiday because I didn't make holiday pay, working harder because I deserve it.
So did I understand you, Grace, to say that you got your own place?
Correct. That is as of yesterday.
Well,
yesterday.
Well, congratulations. Congratulations. I know both of you, Peanut, I know that you also work in the food industry. And I wondered whether, for both of you, first I'll ask Peanut and then I'll go to Grace. Did the shutdowns of the restaurants mean that you were out of work for a period of time? How about you, Peanut?
I didn't have a job at the time because I was in the children's home at the time. in a different program.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so since you've been able to work in food, the food industry here in Anchorage, you've been able to keep steadily working.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Well, that's great. And how about you, Grace? Were there shutdowns at your job? Were you
100%? I started off at Carl's Jr. in 2019 at the Abbott location. I had 2 weeks. I got fired because I had holes in my team, and I was working as a fry girl. Then I worked at Outback. I got laid off. I was calling them back. Never got a call back. Then I got the job that Peanut now has, and I worked at Benihana for a year. Then that became too much work, and in my opinion, the pandemic gave people a reason to be lazy. And so I was putting a lot of energy in. Even for one day, I was working 14 hours on Father's Day.
Wow.
As a hostess, and at the end of the night, I was a dishwasher.
Oh, my.
And they can call it off as cross-training in corporate world, but at the end of the day, it's being overworked and underpaid.
Hmm. And so it, I guess you never, you did get laid off from Outback because of COVID?
Correct.
Okay. But you're right back at it, it sounds like. I mean, you're...
100%.
Yeah. I understand that just you're joining us during the show during a break on your work, and I just want people to know it's not easy. And Grace has been really kind and said, yes, I will be happy to be interviewed. I'll have to take a break from my job. And that's exactly what she's doing right now. Let's see. I wanted to talk a little bit to you, Peanut. You've told me that you actually have been on your own for about 3 or 4 years, right? So tell us how a little bit about your background back in Louisiana, which is where this began.
All right. I remember when I was in high school, it was my sophomore year. I started having like family trouble, and I decided to start running away from home. And I was gone for a month, and I pretended to be homeless for like a month, that month. And my name was Sterling Garcia, and I was 19 and that good stuff. Then, you know, I turned myself in afterwards.
Did you get into some trouble there?
Hmm?
Did you get into some trouble or just homeless?
Oh, no, I was homeless. Oh, no. Because the smart thing for me not to do, if I didn't want to get caught, I had to stay away from some public places and, you know, the police stations and stuff like
that. Yeah. Well, you did tell me that at one point you were homeless and I think a government agency got you a room, a hotel room for 3 months, was it? Where you couldn't, because of COVID, you weren't able to leave?
Yeah, it was the second time I ran away. That's when COVID started hit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know that there were, you know, you and I talked and there were various stories about, you know, some return to your family and some decisions to move on. And eventually you picked Alaska and came up here and you worked with Covenant House down in Louisiana and you managed to also take advantage of Covenant House up here.
Yes, ma'am.
And how would you say COVID has affected you, Peanut, in any particular way, socially, educationally, work life?
Okay. I remember when I just graduated from YCP, Second Military School, back in 2020. And I was at home and I had to finish my high sit because I didn't finish at the military school. So for a whole year, I had to wait till next year, thankfully, for the school to be open up and stuff and that.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the same time during the summer, a lot of things hit me, like my emotions, like if I like see my friends and stuff again, or see family members, because, you know, that ruined a lot of stuff for me.
Yeah.
Then I said I couldn't take it all, and I just decided to leave and not come back for good.
Right. And you are basically making Alaska your home for now?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Grace, I know you have to get back to work, but I just want to touch base with you one more time. Do you have thoughts for teens out there who are worried about, either this is the state of things with COVID and misinformation and, you know, hesitancy and, you know, disrupted school, disrupted work. How do you keep going?
So I ended up graduating in 2020 by the skin of my teeth and the help of West High School's principal, Mr. G. And that ceremony, when I walked up to my teachers that really saw me sleeping in class because I had nowhere else to go, and, you know, seeing the gruesome behind the scenes and then having that diploma on my hand really didn't feel full circle at all because I went right to work. And I would say COVID affected me in the sense that I don't have a social life. I don't even have a way to address a social life. I work as long as I can and as hard as I can for the hard workers that I know are already working and have been having this work ethic. But in my opinion, I think that I would bring up this mental illness portion that Pina touched on about, is that there's groups that have been meeting before COVID that were in person and that were inclusive, and we knew your secret and we would never say anything. And then all of a sudden it was, let's make a Zoom call and expose it on an anonymous username that you may not feel comfortable because you don't know what you're going, what's happening behind that phone. You know, it could be a very unsafe situation, but they're trying to get that help through the screen.
I see.
Think that human interaction really was the collapse of the mental illness of, you know, what we're around.
And the strain of it. Yeah. Does that sound right to you, Peanut?
Yes, ma'am.
Daisy, you're listening to all this. Do you have anything you want to?
No, I just hearing both of your stories really puts things in perspective. And I'm so happy that Grace, congratulations on your house. That's so amazing. And I'm so proud of you that you've, you know, just kept moving forward. And Peanut, hearing your story is just amazing. And I'm so glad that you both, you know, you're through grit and through determination, you know, you're really getting, you know, you're really going for it and going to the end.
Absolutely. I know, Peanut, you told me that you are saving for your own apartment as well with your job.
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're both terrific. I know it wasn't easy. I know that Peanut is on crutches because he had knee surgery. And
I
know. What's that?
Yeah. So I walk with a cane now.
Oh, you're on a cane now. Okay. Progress, yep. Right? And you'll be back at work in a little while. And Grace, I'm so grateful that you could take a little bit of time out and share really what it's been like for you. And, you know, I think I should let you go back to work and we should take a little break here. I want to say thank you so much to Peanut. Kaylin Voss is your other name. And also to Grace Margeson.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm so excited. And I was so excited to be a part of this. I also want to capitalize that word grit is really what it took for Pina and I to full forcingly work every single day when there are people in the same building not having to pay rent but still having the same kind of fun that we wish we could have on the job. But we still go home, do our laundry, and get up in the morning and keep going. So I really appreciate you guys. Thank you.
We appreciate you. So you take care and keep on doing such good work. So we'll take a little break now. You are listening to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska on Alaska Public Media. You can find Hometown Alaska on alaskapublic.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy, and joined today by Daisy Carter. Say hi, Daisy.
Hi.
Thank you. As you heard in this last segment, the teens we were talking with from Covenant House were really stressing the mental pressure that they were feeling and the loss of human face-to-face contact. And that's really a very good segue into our next section. We're going to be speaking with teens who are very active in MHATS, which is Mental Health Advocacy Through Storytelling. But just before we go there, I'm just going to remind folks, we're not taking calls today because this program was pre-recorded, but we do want to hear from you. We have a 24-hour line that you can call, 550-8480. This is for, you know, asking questions about COVID vaccines, letting us know what your experience has been with, you know, if you were hesitant to get vaccinated and then you decided to get vaccinated, what helped you make that decision? And also, I would refer you to our alaskapublic.org/talktoyourneighbor, which is our effort to bring trusted voices and accurate information to different audiences here in Anchorage, so they hear from their own folks about the struggles of living with COVID and also overcoming their fear of vaccination. So, Daisy, before we jump into MHATS, do you have anything you want to just chime in on?
No, not really. I'm really excited. I have worked with MHATS, and I actually know some people over at MHATS, and I'm really excited to hear what they have to say.
Yes, me too. So I'm going to start with Abby. Hi, Abby Laufer.
Hi.
Hi. I know we had some bumpy bumps going into this because I was getting messages on my phone, but I was on the air, so I couldn't. I'm so glad that you're here and we got the bugs worked out. I was sort of hoping you could just kind of introduce us to MHATS a little bit, and then we'll also be speaking with Ivy Marshall and Tara Skidmore, who are colleagues of yours in MHATS. But give us a little bit of the groundwork on MHATS.
Yeah, so MHAT stands for Mental Health Advocacy Through Storytelling, like you said. And we are a youth-run nonprofit that aims to destigmatize the conversation around mental illness, as well as start the conversation about mental health and mental health care in schools. So we do that through storytelling. We have sessions like twice a year that end in public storytelling shows. And we also advocate to the legislature about just like pushing bills that do ask for mental health education in schools. So that's what we do. And yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, should we hear from Ivy and Tara a little bit maybe about their involvement with MHATS, what brought them into it? I could start with Ivy.
Yeah. Hi. So I joined MHATS, like, I think it was the third or fourth session, but it was my first meeting was August 2020. So it was like in COVID and we were doing meetings through Zoom. But I got involved because I, you know, I've had my issues with mental health and I thought that it would be a really nice thing to do. And currently I'm taking a break this session, but I'm a facilitator and I've been trained to be a facilitator. So I will be for the next two sessions after this. But yeah.
Well, Ivy, what does a facilitator do?
A facilitator is someone who, facilitates the sessions, but a facilitator is always someone who's been through the storytelling process and has told their story. But basically we run the meetings and, we have like a curriculum that we go off of, which is, a lot of advocacy work and safe messaging. And we're also kind of story coaches in a way that we help the people who are in the session, you know, like write their stories.
Mm-hmm. So I guess you would say that the storytelling is therapeutic maybe, or it's like a two-way street really, because people get to hear what that person's experience was like, but it also may be helpful for the person to get to the point where they do want to tell that story.
Yeah, I definitely say it's therapeutic. But one thing that we do say is MHATS is not therapy. But I do think that, you know, writing the story or your story when I was writing mine, it was really nice to like kind of get it out in a sense. And I also like being there for people to help, you know, write theirs.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm right when I think that this began well before COVID. I mean, obviously, the teen years can be really difficult, and your organization was trying to respond to a deficit of help for teens in the mental health area, right?
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. I think it started in 2019, so it was the second show was like January of 2020, like right before the pandemic. So.
Okay. Well, let's hear a little bit from Tara Skidmore. She's also a member of MHATS. Welcome to Hometown Alaska, Tara. How did you get involved with MHATS?
Yeah. Hi. Thank you. I started in MHATS as a storyteller, and I have yet to do any type of facilitating or anything like that. But I got started in it. My sister participated in a session before me, and I knew people who were also in it. And it was just a program that I really admired, and I knew that I wanted to get involved with. I had gone through a lot of isolation throughout the pandemic, and I felt like kind of a need for a new community. And I really was able to find that in MHATS and kind of get the support and closure that I needed through my storytelling process.
Mm. And I'm interested in what kinds of stories participants in your sessions have been talking about COVID. Is there a way to give us a feel for that? I don't need people's names. It's just sort of what kinds of stories are people talking about when they, and they might not identify COVID. It might be that they're talking about isolation, but COVID would have been the cause for the fact that they can't go to school or they can't meet with their friends. But when people are talking, and I'll go to you, Abby, for this, and I will give Ivy and Tara a chance to chime in too. But what kinds of stories are young people here telling about the effects of COVID in their life?
Yeah, so this is my fifth session in MHAT, so I've heard like people from before, during, and now like a little bit after quarantine. People have told like all sorts of different stories, because some people tell stories anything from like clinical anxiety or depression to like generalized anxiety around school or toxic relationships. And with our last session, we had someone share a story about the isolation that he felt during COVID and how that kind of like led to a lot of personal development. And then we have also had people share as like part of their stories, like one of the struggles that they experienced being that like isolation during COVID, during such like a period of growth in their life. So
that's interesting that as hard as it was, someone focused and did the hard work of personal self-development. Was he working on something like, you know, trying to learn a language or something like that? Or was it, what kind of personal development was he getting at?
He actually had a really cool story. I want to like make sure not to speak for him, but
yes.
His story was just about how growing up he had kind of idolized his brother and wanted to be like his brother, but his older brother, but through quarantine he learned that, you know, it's okay for him to be himself, and then was able to find joy in himself and not looking at outside sources because he got to have that alone time.
Interesting.
So
yeah, I want to pull Daisy in here. Daisy, you may know some of these folks from MHATS, but do you have any questions for Ivy or Tara or Abby?
Yeah, I just wanted to say as well that MHATS, I think, is such an important role, and I'm so happy that, you know, in a place where like Alaska, you know, we're able to have a safe space for youth to share their stories. My question is that I know that there was a proposal to include mental health, a mental health curriculum into ASD schools. And I actually think Apne did a video on that. And I was just kind of wondering how that kind of turned out.
Is that for Abby?
Yeah, I can explain this one. So actually, there is a bill right now that is actually like going through legislature right now talking about. It's called House Bill 60 and Senate Bill 80. And what it would do is make a standardized curriculum for if schools wanted to talk about mental health education in schools. And it doesn't it doesn't require it. Instead, it creates the curriculum so that if schools want to talk about it, there is a curriculum made by mental health professionals for that to be taught, because there is like a history of mental health being taught in schools in ways that ended up actually being harmful, not using safe messaging, and just like actually hurting the conversation rather than helping it. So that's what this bill, House Bill 60 and Senate Bill 80, which is being talked about right now in Congress, aims to fix, and have a curriculum developed by professionals for a healthy and safe way to talk about mental health education in schools.
You know, Abby, may I follow up on that? Is there, at this point in your high school career, have you had any at all, any curriculum focused on mental health?
No. Okay. In health class, we kind of briefly talk about it, but not enough that it's actually been helpful. Mm-hmm. And it's not at all required. There is no required mental health curriculum in high school health classes. And we do have Yana Club at school, which is You Are Not Alone. And they do present suicide prevention presentations to 9th and 10th graders, which is of course helpful, but at the same time that is then leaving it up to like a club in the school rather than just having it be part of the curriculum like physical health is.
Right. Really interesting. So that's headed, it's in Washington DC, not in the Alaska State Legislature, right?
Oh, it is in the Alaska State Legislature right now.
Okay.
And MHATS has been involved in writing letters and advocating and testifying to get that pushed through. And that's just definitely something that if people are interested in, that is something to advocate for as far as moving towards mental health education in schools.
Yeah. Wow. I want to just touch with Ivy. Anything to add to that? The lack of a curriculum. You guys are in an organization that is student founded and student run. So you actually came together to deal with mental health issues through storytelling. I wonder, Ivy, were you missing that in the curriculum and drawn to this organization to fill that gap?
Yeah, a little bit. Like Tara said earlier, I kind of wanted a new community to be a part of, but also I remember in elementary school, there was I don't even remember anything about mental health. And then in the eighth grade health classes, in the book that we were reading off of, there was like 2 pages about overall mental health. And it was like depression and anxiety were the only things that exist. And if you don't have those, it was just so weird to be like, this is really what the mental health this is what we're learning, this is what we're teaching these kids who are going through hard times and like they're growing up, and then you're saying that these are the only 2 things that exist, and then you can't even do that, like you can't even do much with it. I don't know, it just felt really unproductive, and being a part of a group like MHATS feels more productive to me than anything else.
Mm-hmm. Let's go over to Tara. And same thing, Tara, you said you were looking for a new community, but had you even identified in your own personal education, like the need for information about this? And by that, I mean mental health.
I think I had definitely felt a little cheated out of that any type of that kind of information. I actually, when I went through middle school, when you're supposed to have like that mandated health class in eighth grade, somehow I didn't wind up getting it in my schedule at all, which for me, I didn't think it was a big deal at the time. I kind of thought I had a grip on everything that they were teaching in there. And while it hasn't been a huge issue in my life thus far, I think the fact that like it didn't fit in my schedule and nobody really batted an eye at it is kind of concerning in and of itself. But yeah, I think when I joined, when I like was looking to join MHATS, it was kind of coming out of the pandemic. I mean, obviously we're still in it, but I felt like we were getting back to some kind of normal life. And I kind of realized I didn't really have any type of support system outside of my own, like just friends and family that I had been with through the pandemic, and I needed something new. As far as education, I think I was definitely curious about mental health. I was at the time struggling with my own, and I didn't really know where to go as far as learning, you know, what next steps to take, or kind of like, again, finding a community of people who could relate to me and could give me any type of insight into what, into that kind of information. So yeah, I mean, I think the schools definitely need to do better. It's not something that's really talked about at all unless we ask.
Mm-hmm. I don't have the numbers at hand, but I know, you know, mental health issues and suicide issues are present in the, you know, youth community a lot. And it's just very impressive that you all have brought this forward. I following off Tara, this idea of going back to school, I was wondering how it felt to go back to school after being home for so long. And I don't know whether, Tara, you can jump in there.
Yeah, for me, I'm very like socially dependent. I'm not somebody who can sit in their room like even for a day on end and like be kind of happy with, you know, what I've done. So being at my house every day with the same people, and as much as I do love my family, you know, we all need a break from that. So going back to school for me, like, felt great. I thought that it was like the best thing ever, and I was going to have this great time with all my friends. And in reality, that first quarter back, I went back in the spring, of 2021, and, it really was not what I thought it would be. I wasn't able to reconnect with my friends in the same way I thought I was going to. And I was kind of going through some of my own personal stuff at the time that actually in some ways made it worse to be in contact with a lot of those people at school. In a lot of ways it was nice to see my friends and kind of think that I was getting back into the groove of things.
Well, you know, what strikes me what you're saying is that you didn't go back to the same thing. You were changed. Other people were changed. The environment was changed by having to be isolated for so long, right? So this expectation that, oh boy, you know, I'm going to see my friends again and it's going to be great. And then we've gone through something and we're different a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I still really can't say even today after being back at school for almost over a year now, nothing is the same. Everything has changed. And I mean, I'm not saying that to be trying to be dramatic or anything like that, but I mean, it really is true. Nothing about the way that we learn and that we interact with people today is the same as it was, you know, back in January of 2019.
Yeah. You know, I talked to a teacher who told me that when these were younger, probably more like middle school students came back, that they were so used to not talking to each other because they didn't see each other when they were isolated, that when they got back in the classroom, they didn't talk to each other. And she had to say, you can talk to each other. And I wondered if there was any kind of hesitancy like that for you, Tara, when you got back.
I think in some ways, yes. Like I said, I was really looking forward to seeing a lot of those people again. But yeah, I mean, there's definitely, it seems like there's a lot more division between us, like because of the isolation that we had for so long. I felt like probably a little less open to like just walking up to somebody and starting a conversation. I think I've gotten that back a little bit more now, but definitely going back in the spring, I felt kind of secluded, kind of just in my own group doing my own little thing. And if honestly, if I didn't have classes with my own friends, I felt like I didn't even see them a lot. So it was really weird, and it did feel kind of really, super isolating.
Yeah. I want to ask Ivy a little bit about that. If your experience is similar or a little different, and also, well, go ahead, Ivy, let's hear from you about that. And then I just have another question.
Yeah, no, I feel like I had a very similar experience. I also went back for fourth quarter of last year. So like, April, May, which I honestly, I don't know. I did terrible with online school. Like, absolutely. Like, it was just online school is not for me. And I'm glad I've realized that. So I never do it. But coming back, it was weird in a COVID sense, because I was like, oh, now I'm around all these people all the time. So that was a little unsettling at first. I mean, I've kind of gotten used to it now, but it was also like these people that I had classes with and sat next to freshman year that we would talk and, go back and forth. I would have classes with them again, but it just wasn't like, obviously we weren't the same people, but it just felt so weird, because I was like, we just used to get along so well, and this is just weird. And coming back this fall, when everyone had to come back to school, the hallways were really weird to get used to at first. Like, I kind of forgot how overwhelming going to a school with 2,000 kids is. Like, that was a lot.
Well, I want to ask Abby, listening to your talk, all three of you, really pays quite a bit of tribute to MHATs, because I don't know, you're clear thinking, you're communicative, and I guess I'm thinking of people who might be hearing about MHATs through you today on this program, and if they want to connect with you, is it done through the high school? And this is a question for Abby. How can people connect? I know that I found you through Jason Lessard at NAMI, but I don't know how people would connect with you at the high school level. Is it just you put up flyers and people find you that way, Abby?
So we are under NAMI. We're not under a high school. We are like a separate nonprofit. So anyone from any high school can totally get involved. We have an Instagram, which is I think just how most high schoolers access us. And it's MHATSAK. So
MHATAK.
MHATSAK. Yeah.
Okay.
And so then we also have a website which has all of our past storytellers and their stories, as well as just a lot of information about how you can get involved with advocating for mental health curriculum, and just also how you can get involved with us, which is also MHATSAK. And we also have a Facebook, which is also MHATSAK. And if you want to email us, which I answer all the emails, so if you want to email me, it's MHATSAK too.
All right.
So,
well, thank you. Yeah. I'm so glad we got that information out there. The music is playing and we're out of time. So I really want to thank all of you. I want to say thank you, Daisy Carter, for co-hosting this with me from At Me. And Peanut and Grace from Covenant House, and Abby Loafer, Tara Skidmore, and Ivy Marshall from MHATS. And of course, our listeners. The next installment of our Talk to Your Neighbor project, emphasizing trusted voices and accurate information related to COVID and vaccines, will be Wednesday on Line 1, Your Health Connection. Find us on the web at alaskapublic.org. Ammon Swenson was our audio engineer. Thanks for joining us today on Hometown Alaska.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the participants and not necessarily those of Alaska Public Media, this station, or its underwriters. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Learn more about Hometown Alaska and listen online at alaskapublic.org. This is Alaska Public Media.